teen care and high blood pressure, heart disease and nursing job risk, superbug control and vaccine development, and we'll have a special crossover episode with Pam Ressler on the future of nursing in this social media age. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show, our podcast for nurses by nurses. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you and thank you for checking out the show this week. We've got a great show for you. First up in this week's nursing news items, we'll look at how team care with nurses and other healthcare professionals improves hypertension outcomes for patients. Then, in this week's special tip segment, I have a crossover segment from my Nursing Notes Live podcast at nursingnoteslive.com with Massachusetts nurse educator Pam Ressler. She and I talk about the direction of nursing and where it's going in the next few years with some exciting opportunities that are opening up for nurses. We'll have that and more later on in this episode after the news. Before we get to the news, though, I do want to make sure that you are following up on all of the information from this and every episode, and you can do that by heading over to nursingshow.com. When you get there, check out the links in the episode show notes. There are also other articles and links to other things there, the free Nursing Show mobile app. There are tips for student nurses and a lot of other stuff, but make sure you follow up on what I talk about in the show so you understand how it's applied using your own nursing scope of practice. If you want to get back in touch with me, I hope you'll do so. Please drop me an email. You can send those emails in to me here at nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, and I will get back to you. I respond back to every email that comes in, so please send me links to news items you want me to cover. Maybe you have an interview suggestion with you or somebody you know. Whatever the case may be, please keep them coming. That's it. I'll have some more contact information later on in this episode, but let's go ahead and get on into this week's news items. They are coming right up. First up in our nursing news this week, let's take a look at how team approaches to patient care and healthcare management is a good way to go. A recent news item I found over at upi.com looks at a recent study on hypertension management and the team care approach. Now, this study comes to us from the University of Rochester, where researchers discovered that when the whole healthcare team, both in and out of the facility's care team, influences patient outcomes very positively, especially for hypertension care. Now, this includes home care nurses, pharmacists at local pharmacies, and others to be included in this care team process. This creates a lower barrier to entry for hypertension control programs specific to the patient. The main item is to help each patient overcome their own challenges and barriers to treatment and things like insurance, finding a home care provider, and other aspects to their health management. The study discovered that without the whole team approach to care, only about half of the patients were successful in their blood pressure management regime. After implementing the community team care approach to their hypertension control, these patients were able to have about two-thirds of them able to effectively manage their high blood pressure. Now, I think this is a great example of what team care management, and I wonder if there's what they can do with other nurses out there where we might implement similar programs for other chronic health conditions. So I want to know what a team approach might be beneficial for patient outcomes in things like diabetes. So if you know of a study like this, or you maybe you want to put together a study like this, send me the information and get in touch with me. Maybe I can take a look at it here on The Nursing Show. You can leave a comment on this article over at nursingshow.com, or you can email me directly at nursingshow@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Next up in our important news for nurses is a look at some recent research that might be alarming to us in the nursing careers. Our jobs may be increasing our risk for things like heart disease from the strenuous activity we engage in during the course of our jobs. Now, I've talked about job-based risks for things like shift work and night shift schedules in the past. This is something else altogether. European researchers discovered that women who have highly active or strenuous jobs, like nursing care, may have increased risk for cardiovascular disease. The job tasks that create this risk are things like having to regularly stand, lift heavy objects, and carrying heavy objects while walking. Other similar things are in there as well. Now, they looked at over 12,000 Danish nurses in a 15-year period to see what their rates for cardiovascular diseases were like for things like hypertension. Their reasoning was that when you lift and carry something while moving, you are artificially increasing your blood pressure, and since you have a predisposed risk of hypertension, you risk a further cardiac event like a heart attack or a stroke when you do this activity. Now, this seems to point to an increased risk for nurses with existing hypertension problems, as well as other strenuous nursing care activities and their risks. The researchers stressed that this is the first time that such a study has looked at women specifically. So up until now, the main research has looked at men only, and it discounted women's cardiovascular disease risks. So take a look at your own health situation and the things you can modify. Are the duties in your job affecting you, and can you make changes to manage your hypertension if you have it? I'll stay on top of this and some other research that's out there, and you should read the whole article yourself. There's a link in the show notes for it, so head over and check it out over at nursingshow.com for more information and follow up on this research article. Finally, in our news for nurses this week, let's take a look at the drug-resistant superbugs that are out there that are plaguing our healthcare systems lately. Is there something we could be doing in our care or research to combat them more effectively? A new article I found says that there is something we can do. In an article I found over at Reuters.com, a recent review of the problem from the UK has come up with an interesting potential solution to the problem. This report from the British government is on microbial resistance, and it says that more research focus needs to be put on vaccine development to combat the spread of superbugs. The reasoning is that a vaccine for a superbug can reduce the spread of the disease, which lessens the need for more antibiotics out there, and that lessened antibiotics will be something that stops the spread of superbugs. Now, this is a problem when you look at worldwide issues where many common vaccines are not routinely available. For one example, in the article, the article's authors cited the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, which could be more widely disseminated around the world. This alone would prevent the deaths of more than 800,000 children across the globe. Fighting infections by vaccination is more effective and reduces the creation of antibiotic-resistant strains. Researchers are seeing more and more resistant bacteria in these common infections and also in things like foodborne illnesses, so this is something we really need to spend some time on. Of course, in order for this to work, we need to fight against the segments of the population who are called the so-called anti-vaxxers out there. What do you think? I want to know your opinion on this and, of course, all our articles this week in the news, so make sure you get in touch with me. Shoot me an email to nursingshow@gmail.com or leave a comment over on each article over at nursingshow.com. I do look forward to hearing from you, and I will get back to you. This week on the Nursing Show podcast, I'm bringing you a crossover segment from the Nursing Notes Live podcast, which I do for the Johnson & Johnson campaigns for Nursing's Future. I sat down and talked with nurse educator Pam Ressler, and we discuss what is on the horizon for nurses and future innovations in the nursing space. This segment features Pam Ressler. She's a faculty member in the Pain Research, Education, and Policy Program at Tufts University School of Medicine in Boston, Massachusetts, and is the founder of Stress Resources in Concord, Massachusetts. Pam has also just become the first nurse to have been selected to serve on Stanford University's Medicine X Executive Leadership Board. Here's that interview coming up, and check out the Nursing Notes Live podcast for yourself. It's over at nursingnoteslive.com, where the Campaign for Nursing's Future is available as well over at discovernursing.com. The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest Nursing Notes, which highlights examples of nurses creating improved patient outcomes and transforming the new standard of care. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the written format. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on our podcast player at discovernursing.com and subscribe to the podcast series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. This month on the Nursing Notes Live podcast, we discuss what is on the horizon for nurses and future innovations in the nursing space. This segment features Pamela Ressler, adjunct lecturer of public health and community medicine at Tufts University School of Medicine in Medford, Massachusetts, adjunct professor at the University of Massachusetts Boston, and has just become the first nurse to have been selected to serve on Stanford University's Medicine X Executive Leadership Board. Here's that interview. Hi, Pam. Welcome back to Nursing Notes Live. It's great to have you back here on the show. Folks probably remember hearing you talk with me in a past episode, but why don't we remind those that maybe are new to the show a little bit about your background in nursing?
Sure. Well, thank you, Jamie. This is just such a pleasure for me to come back on your show with you. I've been a nurse for, I hate to even say it, but in 3 decades, I've learned a lot. So I started back in the late 70s, and I am still loving this profession in all its iterations. So I am the founder of a company in the Boston area called Stress Resources, and we work with individuals and organizations to build tools of resilience, which is, in my mind, really what nursing is all about, is building those tools of resilience for our patients and also ourselves and colleagues. I'm also a faculty member at the Tufts University School of Medicine in a program called Pain Research, Education, and Policy, which is the only such program in the U.S. at this time. And really what we do is flip that notion of pain on its head a bit by looking at it from a social psycho-bio model versus the biopsychosocial model that we often consider around chronic pain. So I teach a few classes there, and I do a lot of writing and speaking about the whole idea of the patient's story, how that intersects with their health and wellness, even when living with significant disease.
Over the course of this month and throughout the course of the year, we're going to be talking about the future of healthcare and nursing and what are the new exciting trends that are coming down the road. And I know you had some interesting things go on over the course of this past year that are very exciting. You actually turned me on to a video about the power of narrative in healthcare. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. Last February, I was very honored and humbled to be invited to be one of 30 thought leaders to create what we called a narrative playbook, in the same context as you would consider a playbook in athletics, kind of a guide or a teaching tool on how you can include story from the patient's perspective, the clinician's perspective, the caregiver's perspective. And so Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Business Innovation Factory in Providence, Rhode Island, brought the 30 of us together to really co-design what this might look like. And as you said, I was I'm thrilled with the product that I sent you the link for, and it's freely available for anybody who'd like to take a look at this and use this in their practice, and also to give us feedback on how what changes or evolutions that they might choose to make. So this was a really interesting project because it wasn't all nurses or all physicians, but really it was bringing together folks from disparate areas, and how would we create some tool to help people tell their stories, because isn't that really what healthcare is all about, is in some way telling our story, have somebody understanding our story, and then making change.
And it's important. I think one of the things that came out when I was looking at the video and actually reading, I downloaded the playbook that you came up with and was reading through it. And it talks about the importance of the narrative, the story of the patient, the story of the current healthcare problem or that they're facing, the story of the narrative story of the healthcare professional, the nurse, the physician, that is part of that overall narrative of the patient care program and process. And really like that idea, because if we can take some time to listen to each other and communicate better and hear these stories, it really puts everything else in context.
Absolutely. And I think that the context is really important too, because often when we meet a patient and as patient stays, certainly inpatient patient stays have become much shorter. How we connect with patients has changed in terms of length of time and relationship. We're not getting the full context. We're getting one piece of a diagnosis, and we can come up with a really poor plan of action if we only know perhaps those metrics that are being quantified. And so some of the research, and this is an area that I think nursing intersects so beautifully, and we need to take a leading role in this, is how can the patient's story, our own story, and the family's story help us come up with more effective and more effective and maybe less costly interventions that will actually work and will actually have a measurable effect in whatever type of measure we want to come up with.
Yeah, I like that. And it really is more than just the numbers, just the vital signs. If we do that, if we just treat the numbers that we see in our data set, we end up really doing something that's almost like cookbook medical care and not taking care of the whole patient. And it reminds me of something someone told me a long time ago when I was first learning to take care of patients. And it was treat the patient, not the monitor, not those numbers that you were seeing on the screen.
And it really is also treat the patient and not just the disease that they're presenting with also, isn't it? Because if we only see that patient as the patient with COPD or the patient with diabetes, we're missing the context and the richness of the patient experience, which we can weave in their care plan. But it's not an algorithm that we can easily enter into the EMR. And I think that's the point where I'm really excited about what nurses bring to the table. This is what we do so beautifully, is really understand how to restore somebody to wellness, even within the context of significant illness. And I think that we're positioned really well, but we don't consider ourselves those leading experts in that connective collaboration.
And we really do need to step up as nurses and assume that leadership role. I think we've so often like to stay in the background a little bit and not step forward and draw attention to ourselves while we do the important work of caring for our patients. But that part of us needs to be that vocal advocate for the patient and for the proper ways that we can change the healthcare system to be more effective.
Absolutely, and I believe it's not necessarily an adversation. With adversity, we bring so many, there's so many challenges, I guess I'd like to say, that often we step back and we are going in our own silo on trying to fix whatever we see in front of us. I would say we need to look broader than that and bring our leadership to a broader table of really creating this new way of thinking about health with our patients, because we are the advocates for our patients. How can we bridge that place between the disparate areas of healthcare? And I think that's where nursing leadership, not in the traditional role of nursing leadership perhaps, but every single nurse is a leader in that that way.
And in the broader sense, you know, the narrative of the community is important to the overall health of the individual as well. And so where do you get news and information about what's going on in nursing and healthcare? Is there a particular place that you're turning to recently to gather that information so that you can assume that leadership role?
I would love to say there is a one-stop shopping for this, but unfortunately, I haven't found it. And I guess what I would recommend, and certainly I practice it myself, is number one, I'm a totally voracious reader. I mean, I read a couple of newspapers a day. I do a lot of reading beyond what typically is published just for healthcare, because I see a lot of relationship in policy of what's happening in various areas of the country, the world, that relate very much to my role in nursing. So I do read nursing-specific journals, et cetera, but I read and I interact much more with the total landscape of healthcare. And both online and in print, I try to check in with some interesting thought leader tweet chats a lot, which often give me some links to look further into an area of interest. So, I mean, that's basically, I don't limit myself to one source. And I think sometimes we feel we should read everything just in our area of expertise. And in my mind, that is rather narrow. I like to see the adjacencies and the relationships between so many things that are happening in just the landscape of living in our times.
Kind of a nursing theory approach to everything. I mean, really trying to give that holistic approach to gathering your information.
It truly is. And I find so many relationships and where the conversations are happening also help. I feel they help me become a better listener and a better nurse because I'm more aware of things that may be bubbling up. For instance, I see right now there's a huge conversation going on, and certainly in our country, about aging and about end of life and about the conversations related to that. That's something that we as nurses need to be very involved in, and not just from a nursing stance, but from a human being stance, and how can we advocate and counsel our patients if we really haven't really understood in our own mind what this means to us and our values surrounding it. Atul Gawande published Being Mortal, I think last year, and that's created conversations in book clubs and on TV, et cetera. Nurses need to read that book, even if it wasn't written by a nurse and it isn't specific around, about nursing. It's a cultural conversation.
And it's interesting. It all comes back to you can apply those things to your nursing care. I know recently, in the last few months, I saw a study of how ICU nurses who work to bring hospice and palliative care into the scenario for a given patient early actually helps manage that patient's care much better towards the end of their lives.
Absolutely. And we've seen several studies around the early introduction of palliative care, which, for those nurses who aren't familiar, is really the umbrella of comprehensive care. It is not only hospice care. As a matter of fact, palliative care can include curative treatment being done concurrently. And so the discussion around what are some of the studies that we're seeing in terms of not only quality of life, but maybe even longevity of people with significant illness. And there have been several at this point.
So as we look forward, what do you think is going to change the most over the next few years with regard to nursing and the types of jobs that nurses find themselves doing?
I think we're at a crossroads a bit of how nurses can think differently about ourselves as perhaps co-designers of healthcare. And I would encourage nurses at whatever point in their career to think outside the box that way. So I see positions opening for nursing that may not just be bedside nursing, that may expand greatly into the community and into the larger policy world, et cetera. I was really honored last month to be the first and only nurse appointed to the executive leadership board at Stanford University's Medicine X program, which I think Medicine X is actually one of those organizations and kind of shining lights on what healthcare can become. It has a mission of everyone included, and everyone included isn't having the token nurse or isn't having the token patient, but really having everyone have a seat at that table. And that's where I see nursing as being so instrumental in creating this new mindset. As we enter into a new world of more people with chronic illness than often acute illness, people living longer, this is what we in nursing are trained for. And not only do we just need to be brought in at the end to kind of create the care plan, we need to be there saying, you know, how might we change this? And then offering to co-design and collaborate at those early stages. So for nurses in their positions, it means don't be scared to step out of your thought about what nursing is or that traditional role. You might need to think a little horizontally, perhaps, in your choices of what committees you sit on. Reach for the top. I always counsel new nurses, don't be scared to step up to a leadership position on a committee. Sit on committees that aren't made up only of nurses. And that may feel a little scary at first, but that's how I think we shift over the next several years of really bringing nursing's great expertise to the table of healthcare design. Nurses are the designers of healthcare. And think about it, we really have been the technology hackers from ever. You know, nurses are the ones that know how to get pumps working. Nurses are the ones who know how to do workarounds. That's our expertise. And so we are designers. And so that's really where I see this going. There have been some interesting kind of movements happening. The maker nurse movement is actually something that encourages that hacking in a way of nurses to actually redesign certain fixes in healthcare. And that has been funded both by Robert Wood Johnson and MIT collaborates with the Maker Nurse movement. And some people may be familiar with the Maker Fairs, et cetera. Well, there's a specific Maker Nurse movement that you can follow.
I think that's a great place to wrap this up, Pam. So do you have something else you'd like to add to that?
Well, I would just encourage nurses, specifically around things like Medicine X, to really take a look and see if you can add your voice to these newer initiatives. Now's the time to really make your voice heard. And it's a welcoming place. And so that Maker Nurse, the idea around narrative in healthcare, the idea of some of these larger communities that also include conferences like Medicine X, I think are really what I want to leave your listeners with. Of there are so many new opportunities to show how nurses shine.
That's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week. Make sure you follow up, though, on all of the information you picked up in this episode. Head over to nursingshow.com and check out the episode show notes. There's a link right there at the top of the page. In there are listings for all of the episodes of The Nursing Show. From the most recent one at the top, you can scroll down and go all the way back to the very first episode. But I want you to get the full information there with links to other resources so that you understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. If you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email. You can send that in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So send me your comments, your questions, suggestions, news links. Help support the Nursing Show community with your input. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter. There's a link and form right on the right-hand side of the Nursing Show site, so fill out that short form, and we'll send you the links to each episode's show notes directly to your email inbox each week. You can also connect with me on social media sites. I'm available there under the handle PodMedic, so you can find me there under twitter.com/PodMedic and facebook.com/PodMedic, so friend or follow me. You can also become a member of the community over on Facebook by liking the Nursing Show Facebook page at facebook.com/nursingshow. Click the like button there and join the conversation on that page. I post other nursing and healthcare articles and pictures on the Nursing Show site throughout the course of each week and over at the Nursing Show page, so check it all out. That's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back with more episodes here of The Nursing Show. Remember, it comes out every Friday for you, so you can wrap up your nursing week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show.